All right, it's 8:40. Happy Thursday morning to you. We got Detective Eric Edson in with us from the Sheboygan Police Department this morning. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Happy fall.
Yeah, definitely happy fall. Definitely not easing our way into the fall season. Holy cow. 51 degrees. We got a wind chill of 46 right now.
Oof.
So, yeah, a little chilly.
Yeah.
I mentioned to you off the air, I actually did have the furnace on yesterday. It was like, you know, you try to put that off as long as you possibly can.
Right.
And I walked into my place yesterday and was like,
and mid-60s. It's Wisconsin, so you might have the air conditioning on later this month.
Yeah. You know, it is possible. I had it on just a couple of weeks, within the last couple of weeks. But
wishful thinking, maybe.
Oh, man. But it is what it is. Time marches on.
And, right.
Welcome to fall, as you said. So a lot going on, Eric. There's a lot of scams and fraud that you want to talk about. Where do you want to start this morning?
I think lately we've been talking a lot about ways to protect yourself online with your cell phone, different things with your Wi-Fi. And I thought we'd just kind of come back now that it's fall and people are going to be maybe around the house a little bit more, not on vacation, just kind of focusing on the top scams that people, at least in the past, have lost a lot of money on. And our department's big push is for prevention and education. So I think the more that we try to educate people about these scams, because like we've said in the past, it's almost impossible to get your money back if you've fallen victim to one of these. So I just like to kind of highlight the top four that we've seen in this area frequently, consistently. The first one is the romance scam. That's probably the biggest one, where someone will befriend someone online and that person is not who they purport themselves to be, but they develop this romantic relationship with somebody. And then once that's done, once they've gained that person's trust, then comes the request for money. And it takes all kinds of different types of scenarios, that they're in the military and need money. They're working on an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico and they need money. You know, whatever the reason is, there's always some reason to get money. And it's very successful. There are some people that are lonely and looking for companionship, and they fall victim to this, hoping that this person really, you know, does love them and cares for them. And really, it's just some person probably in a different country purporting to be this person and doing that with other people, too. So just be aware of that. If you do have an online relationship with someone that you've never met in person, you know, resist that temptation or scrutinize that request for money.
I saw this morning, I didn't get a chance to really dig into it. I came across it during the show, but it was something similar to that, where now one of the newest ones is, you know, as far as a romance scam goes, the perpetrator of it claims to, you know, have information on cryptocurrency and things that the average person doesn't understand.
Right.
And he talks the victim into investing money into this. And they actually give them a little return on their initial investment just to kind of, you know,
sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah. And then after that, when they invest more money, then they're gone.
Right.
And so is your money.
And that's the kind of the MO for a lot of these, is they start out small. They try to get you to just give a little bit. And once you've given money, these criminals know that you're good for probably a lot more. And then they start asking for bigger asks and things like that. And, you know, giving you a little bit of a reward, so to speak, for that initial investment or that initial deposit, that's a way to kind of keep people on the line. And I can totally see how it happens, but you really need to be aware of that a lot of these, it's unfortunate that in today's world you really can't take for granted what is in front of you. You really need to scrutinize it and question what's going on. So very similar to that is the imposter scam. This sometimes is referred to the grandparent scam. We've heard about that. But it can be a government agency or a utility where someone contacts you purporting to be someone that they're not. So a grandchild, the police department, your utility company saying that there's some problem. I've been arrested. You have a warrant for your arrest. Your bill isn't paid and we're going to cut off your utility service. Some kind of thing to get you to quickly make a decision out of fear or panic and send them money. One of the biggest things to look for is a lot of these people will ask you to either wire money or to send gift card numbers. No government agency, no legitimate utility, no one's going to ask you for gift card numbers ever to pay stuff. And typically, you're not going to wire it either. They're not going to contact you in this format. So don't ever wire money to someone that you don't know, that they're either an unknown person, unverified person, or a business. If you do get a call from a friend, relative, grandchild saying, hey, I'm in trouble, whether it's a medical reason or a legal reason, and I need money, just take a couple minutes, try to get in touch with that grandchild, try to get in touch with that relative, call their parents, whatever, and verify the story before you send money, because wiring money and sending gift card numbers is like sending cash. It's really not traceable, and you're not going to get your money back. There's just no other way around it.
Sure. Sure. What about the tech support scam? I see that's on the list.
Yeah, so that happens still fairly frequently, where people will get either an email or a pop-up on their computer, typically a result of some kind of malware that was downloaded on their phone or their computer. And it's saying that, hey, I'm from Microsoft, I'm from Adobe, I'm from whatever, and we've detected that you have a virus or some kind of issue on your computer, and we can fix it for you for the low cost of whatever.
Just click here, right?
Just click here, yeah. So those companies have no way of knowing, unless you would grant them access somehow, that you have this virus on your computer. Again, that's almost always going to be a scam. If you do receive one of these calls or something like that, just hang up or don't reply to the email. If you feel that there might be an issue with your computer, take it to a trusted tech support company, one of the local tech companies or something. Excuse me, something like that, or do a little research online before you pay money for that kind of a service.
All right. What about the lottery sweepstakes and charity scams?
Yeah, so that's coming up with Christmas and the holiday season coming up. The charity one is a big one, but people will receive these emails. A lot of times we kind of joke about it. That's the Nigerian prince scam, where you've won all this money and, you know, it's lucky you were named in some guy's will that you never heard of before, and you're going to have $1 million granted to you. Again, those are always scams. It's illegal to participate in any kind of a national lottery or sweepstakes like that. So there's never going to be any money at the end of it. What they might do is send you a check that's going to be a counterfeit check. They're going to ask you to cash it. It's probably going to be off of a legitimate business account, so it'll probably clear initially, but then once it goes through the system, it'll come up as fraudulent or counterfeit, and then you're going to be on the hook for the money. So your bank is probably not going to reimburse you. So let's just say you get a check for $50,000 and you cash it, and a week later it comes back and bounces, you're going to be on the hook for that $50,000. And again, there's probably very little, if anything, that law enforcement can do for you at that point.
So how do people protect themselves from all this? Just kind of recap. I know we've talked about this in the past, but...
Yeah, just if you are approached or contacted with any of these, just stop the communications immediately. Don't engage in conversation with these people. Some people like to try to get more information from them or try to, you know, for law enforcement purposes. Just hang up the phone. Delete the emails. Hang up on the phone. Don't even answer the phone is one thing that I tell people is if you don't recognize the number, if it's important enough, they'll leave a voicemail. Otherwise, just don't even answer it. The big thing is don't be pressured to act quickly. That's where the criminals really take advantage of things, where they kind of try to prey on your fears or emotions. Don't be tricked into acting quickly. Take just a couple minutes to evaluate the circumstances, the situation, and see if it might be a scam.
Because that's what they try to do, is create a sense of urgency that it just has to be done now, right?
That right, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And that's why people, especially that's why the grandchild thing is so effective, is, you know, when you receive, they take advantage of people's human nature to be compassionate and caring.
Right.
And so when you get a call like that in the middle of the night saying, from your grandchild saying, I need help, grandma or grandpa, your initial reaction is going to be, of course, to do that. And
right.
That's where people fall victim to this, is not taking just a few minutes to kind of verify the story. We just talked about this. Don't ever wire money to unknown or unverified people or businesses. This is one that I know you are a big fan of. Don't ever click on links in unsolicited emails or texts. That's where people get into a lot of trouble. Just delete the email. Don't ever click on a link, because that's going to either run some kind of malicious software on your computer or your phone, or bring you to a website that's not legitimate, and you're going to enter your payment information or your personal information, and that's where the trouble starts.
Yeah.
And then finally, remember, you know, grandma's old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that, if you kind of keep that in the back of your mind when some of these things, the lottery scam, and those kind of things where they're offering you money, that doesn't happen today. I mean, it's very rare that someone would, you know, win the lottery. So yeah, don't fall victim to that.
And we want to talk just a little bit. We're going to go over our allotted time here. That's okay, though. We'll still get business news here. This latest challenge on TikTok, it's called Devious Licks, and you wanted to touch on that a little bit this morning.
Yeah, because we have a local connection, so just a little bit of background. A lick is like a slang term for a robbery that kind of results in something that you can brag about, that you got all this money or whatever it is. So what this is it's a social media challenge on TikTok where kids are encouraged to either steal or damage school property and then share the video on TikTok. The most common thing that we've seen is stealing of the soap dispensers from the school or from the bathroom, or damaging toilets or sinks. It's costing a lot of money. We've seen it in all the high schools and the middle schools here in Sheboygan. And the reason why teens are participating is it's a combination of biology and sociology. Teens' brain development isn't quite where it needs to be at this stage in their life to think ahead through their consequences and to make good decisions. I think anyone that has a teenager probably knows that. Plus, we all get that kind of dopamine rush from that likes, comments, views, that whole social media culture that, you know, you like that belonging or being part of a community, and teens feel that as well. So what can you do as a parent to kind of help out with this? Number one, help kids understand their digital reputation. A lot of colleges, employers will look at their social media history, and if there's things on there that, you know, are criminal activity or things like this, that could affect their eligibility for scholarships for colleges and those kinds of things. Discuss the consequences of illegal or risky behavior. There are legal consequences. If you damage property, you could be arrested. You could pay a fine. Depending upon if you're 17 or not, you possibly could go to jail depending upon the dollar amount. So just discuss those. You know, kids aren't really thinking ahead to that, so discuss those risks. And then finally, the most important thing is develop a positive relationship with your kid. Open lines of communication, be able to discuss these kind of things. Encourage your child to report to the school authorities or to just act responsibly when they're in school.
Yeah, because, I mean, parents are busy with work and what have you, that they don't necessarily know all these goofy challenges online. We've heard about, you know, Tide Pod Challenge and all those
foolish ones
over the last couple of years. So you just got to talk to your kid.
Make sure your child understands that these fads and things are kind of this part of that social media culture, and just those open lines of communication. Let them know your values. Let them know what you expect of them when they are online, to act responsibly. A lot of people think they get a pass when they go online. It's amazing what people will post on Facebook and social media that they wouldn't say in person to somebody. So make sure your kids understand that there are real life consequences to their digital life as well.
Good stuff. Eric Edson, Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department. Appreciate you coming in this morning.